It's the motherfucking Millennial Media Podcast.
Innovation that excites.
I need that shit. Look at you, saw how her pancita went down?
Damn. It really just...
Ooh, yas.
That's crazy. Life is so crazy. How you been?
Life has been, you know, a barrel of laughs.
A barrel of laughs. Y'all hear her? You sound like you churn butter.
You did say earlier, we all have our white ways.
We do. We do.
What is one of your white ways?
It was Glee. I realized I watched every episode of Glee, and I feel like that's enough.
My white ways definitely, I mean, I definitely have lots of white ways. I mean, I feel like the fact that I just, like, love musicals, like Wicked. I saw Wicked, like, eight times. Wicked is pinnacle okay, white ways. No.
But Wicked was about racism, though.
Oh, shit. Wicked had a lot of implications, like, a lot of social implications.
Yes.
I fucking love.
The songs.
Oh, my God. They're just so be- and Idina Menzel's voice, and on my 30th birthday, you know, at the Women's March in LA, she was fucking singing Defying Gravity to me on my 30th birthday.
Did she do For Good? That's the guy.
Been changed. Do you know that that's me and Molly's song, like legit our song, and then we performed it in Michelle's class? That song defines our friendship.
For Good,
I've heard,
is probably the saddest song I've ever heard in my life.
Into our lives. For a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led.
Wait. So you just saw her?
Like, she was performing at the Women's March on the stage.
Did you meet her?
No, honey. I was in the audience at the march.
Wait. Okay. Actually, that's a good question. Are you in any, like... Like, you have a certain platform. Do you know any famous people or things that people who would be considered famous? Because I'm
yes,
trying to get
I
my
do.
Bag. Like, who? Who's the most famous person you know?
Like, no, how much would you say no? Like, do
like
I have to...
Like, biggest platform.
No, I mean, but, like, how close do I have to know them? Because there's a lot of famous people that I met.
This Capricorn shit.
Like, but I mean, like, how... Like,
what is no?
What does it mean to know someone?
Cano.
Knowledge.
Let's just say you met.
Okay, so the most famous person who knew who my work was Zoe Saldana.
Oh my God.
Like, I got to meet her, like, at this...
The Colombiana bitch?
Yeah. Well, is she Colombiana? I didn't even know that. I just know she's just fly.
No, she's not from Colombia.
She's the
movie.
What's she talking about?
Colombiana?
I just know she was that green girl in the Avengers.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a chick.
She's a bad bitch.
Did she read your book?
Well, no, she didn't. I don't know if she read my book, but she okay, so she's like really involved in the content curation for her website Bise, which is like a blog of like Latino media and like just like of issues that affect the Latino community, but like all facets of it. It's like really inclusive platform. And I got like a featurette, a video to do my ADHD poem for her mental health series. And so I went to one of her events because we got invited like to this event that was at the York. That was like at this place called the York Manor in Highland Park. And it was a really cool event, and I got to meet Jillian Mercado, who's, like, a Latina activist, but she's, like, she's, like, a woman who's in a wheelchair, and she's, like, a model in Vogue, and, like, she's just, like, a bad bitch, okay? And she's just, like, really super inspiring, and I got to meet her, and I took pictures with her, but Zoe came up to... Like, well, she was in the front row, and I was like, hi, Zoe. Like, and she was I talked to her, and I was like, I'm not sure if you know me, but I just, I was like, I just really want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity. Like, I was in your video series. She's like, yes, girl, I know your poem. She's like, I picked it. She told me she picked it, and I was like, what?
You love
like,
me?
I was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. She's like, yes, I know who you are, and I was like, oh, my gosh, and then she gave me a hug, and I was like, can we take a picture? She's like, actually, and they were, like, giving her the microphone so she could start hosting. Mm. She's like, can we take it after? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry, yes. And then I just sat down in the front row. I was there with my friend Evie, and he came with me, and it was just a really cool event, But it was just really cool to know that she knew who, like, wow. She's actually that involved in the curation of the content on her page and channel. That, who knew? Yeah, and she was just really nice and really, like, personable and really dedicated to. So one of the things that caught my attention in the event at the beginning of it, she's like, if you've ever been othered, then Bisay is for you. Like, then we are your community. You know, they highlight a lot of really beautiful aspects of the Latino culture that don't really get highlighted. Like, a lot of queer media, like, projects and people that are,
Latinx,
like...
Latinx media is a very odd, like, field. They're very intentional. Like, I noticed the community has, like, when I took the class, they're very intentional with what they broadcast as Latinx.
Yeah.
Like, culture and experience.
And I like that there's a range of Latinx experiences represented with Bisay.
Yeah.
There's a range of it. And it's not just, like, one perspective, which I really like. Mm. So, yeah, I really support that platform, and I it was really cool to meet her.
Well, shit. Zoe Saldana and a good, like, organization, a good cause. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Good experience.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
We had the cutest day today.
We had a great day.
We went to Dolores Park.
Dolores. We went to the Mission District.
Yeah. And then we went down this, like, really gentrified alley of art.
And it was hot today.
Yeah. It was really beautiful weather, though.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. I'm glad I spent it with you.
Me too. It was like, it felt so family. Like, it just felt like so, like, just every time I'm around you, you just feel like family to me.
Oh, me? Oh, okay. Thank you. I was talking about, like, the city, though. Like, tomorrow, we're going to Lake Merritt. And the family vibe out there is incredible.
Okay.
It's incredible. And it's something I think you'll really enjoy.
I think it's so much funner being shown around by somebody who's, like, done all of the, like, living there. So yeah. You get, like, such a filtered experience.
Because, you know...
Because, like, you get to filter all the bullshit. Like, you've already, you know, missed the train or know where to get it from and all
I hate
that,
a bitch who's been to Vegas, like, 20 times. And they want to show you around the hot spots and some little secret. Like, you're not a local, you know? Yeah. Like, you don't know. Like, yeah. I don't like them people.
Okay. So what else? What else is an update for the people since we last...
Yes. Updates for the people. I've been better. You know, I was in a place where I was just kind of existing without putting my mental health first. And after, like, a lot of deep reflection, I'm glad to say when someone asks me, how are you doing? I can say I'm good. Like, I'm better now. And I think that's very important. It's very important because sometimes you just be laying a bit. Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to be honest about those times, too. When people ask that question, like, you don't always have to reply on autopilot and be like, I'm fine. I'm good.
True.
Like, if you're not good, it's also okay to express that if you feel safe with the person you're talking to, you know?
But some of these bitches don't even need to fucking know.
Yeah, you're right. Because some of them use that mal de ojo against you.
And like, that's that on that.
She doing bad, so ooh, I'm upset her.
Period.
I'm going to do some more bad vibes towards her. Like,
no. I don't know. We got to really be...
protect our energy.
Yeah. Protective of it. Mm-hmm. Like, guard
it. That's why I don't kick you with these hoes, because these hoes be corny.
Corny.
Corny and fake.
Fake.
Bitches are fake. Like, people create their entire personalities based off of, like...
Buckle your seatbelts.
Aesthetics.
Here she go.
She getting started, y'all.
She getting started. Yeah, come on. People
use base their entire identities off of what's Instagrammable or not. Feel me?
Instagrammable.
Yeah, like, if something is Instagrammable, that means it's, like, bite-sized woke. Like, it's woke that you could fit in a 2x4 little square.
They just talk. And that's the thing about, like...
They act like feminism and sisterhood is a hashtag, but it ain't,
like,
how they live their
life. Like, we were talking about this earlier, like, your activism only goes as far as your mouth.
Okay.
Your mouth. You're only talking. You're only saying things. Yeah. Where's the action? What type of act? You gotta be active to be an activist.
Yeah.
And not on social media either.
And not just your thumbs, feel me?
Or another podcast. But we're gonna get into that at the Wine and Cheese May segment.
So, but I want to start off with talking about the visita that I went to.
Oh, yes, yes,
so,
yes.
So, Leti Seco, who is a very, very well-known LA radio, like, veterana in the hip-hop game, she's, like, she does these visitas, or she has been, and so I guess when the whole Trump thing happened, and, I mean, deportations have been happening, but she just wanted to get, she just wanted to ask the question to her followers, like, I don't want to argue about this with people. I literally just want to know what I can do to help. And so, like, someone hit her up and was like, oh, there's actually this facility nearby in California that some of these kids are being held, like, these teens and little kids that have been separated from their parents at the border. Mm-hmm. And she was like, done. Like, and she pulled all her resources of people that she knows from the hip-hop industry and, I guess, like, other creative industries in L.A., and she got people to donate food and toys and backpacks and MP3 players and DVDs. Like, she literally just asked the kids, like, what do you guys want to feel more comfortable? Like, this is a shitty-ass situation. Feeling but what can I give you to make you at least feel comfortable while yes. you're here? Like, to entertain you. And it was really such a beautiful, beautiful day. Like, there was this moment where I had to walk away because I got to do face painting there because she had posted something that was like, you know, we need people who do face painting. And I was like, hey, I'm not like professional anymore. I used to do it as a side hustle, like mm-hmm, when I needed mm-hmm. to make money on the side. But I still have like all like the really expensive paints and I'm still good at it. So I offered my service and she's like, I would love to have you.
Wow.
So I came and she's just so easy to talk to. Like, I was talking to her about my workshops because I had invited her. She wanted to come to the last one, but she was doing the donation drive that same day, so she wasn't able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just like really down to earth. You could tell she's just like a real like homegirl from LA, who's just and her husband's a really talented photographer in hip hop. Like
mm-hmm.
he was also Nipsey Hussle's road manager, mm-hmm. and so his name is Jorge Peniche, and like his art was in the Contact High exhibit at the Annenberg Space for Photography.
Yeah,
it's a dope ass exhibit. Like Rakim's Dapper Dan Gucci jacket is up there, like, oh my god, or I think it's Louis Vuitton. It's so dope. It's like actually his jacket, and I'm like, I'm a huge hip-hop fan, so seeing that, like, Chris caught a beautiful picture of me like so hype in the picture like this, like smiling and pointing at the jacket, because it's a cross between fashion and hip-hop, which is something I really, really love.
Yeah,
and so the intersections are just like so dope to me, and Dapper Dan is one of my, you know, my heroes in art and fashion. And he's just, like, an innovator and a hustler that I really respect.
I feel like.
So, like, so, yeah. So, it was really dope to get to meet him in person because I had been following his work for a long time. But I also really look up to her. She's around my age, but she's just, like, always hustled in the radio industry. And, like, she's just, I remember her listening to her on Power 106 with Big Boy. And, anyways, so, there was this moment where they had a DJ who come and donated his time, but this girl, this little girl, it was her birthday, and I guess this is a very simple concept that I feel very ignorant for having this moment, because it's like, oh, here, these people come with their privileged tears, like, but it had never occurred to me for some selfish-ass reason
mm-hmm.
that they would have to spend their birthday there. I don't know why, I just never thought of it until I was literally there, and we were singing happy birthday to this little girl, and she was crying. And I knew that it wasn't just, like, a cry of, like, oh, this is such a beautiful moment. It's, like, I'm crying because I don't know any of these fucking people. I've been here for 2 weeks in America, and this shit is, like, I want to know where my family is. Like, this is where she is.
Mm.
And I just, like, I started losing it. But yeah. Then I lost it. Like, I just went over the edge with losing it, because then we sang happy birthday to her, and she cried, and it was over. And then this her friend, who had also been there, she was from Honduras, this little girl singing, and she asked if she could sing to her friend for her birthday.
Yeah.
And I guess nobody just knew what to expect. They were just like, oh, this is going to be really cute. This little girl, she has some lungs on her. Like, she could blow.
What'd she sing?
She sang this song in Spanish.
What is it called? We got to play it now.
I have a video.
You have a video?
But I wasn't supposed to video. But I wanted to like capture the sound.
Oh yeah.
So I won't ever show the video because you can't show their faces. But I'll play the audio.
Oh yeah.
Pass me my phone. It was just like a really, really beautiful day. And yeah, we weren't supposed to video, but I didn't video. I just like, because you can't see her face in the video.
Yeah.
So
it was just a really beautiful moment, and I had to like walk away, but I was so glad that I was able to witness that moment, because it really changed. I don't know, man. It was just,
it's those moments, those all connecting moments. Yeah. That, damn. So. You can feel all of that.
And you could just... it was just so beautiful, the moment. And it was like, it was too much for me. Like, I got overwhelmed with emotion. And I just like... But in... Just to see the resilience of these kids and the way that they were still able to be so kind to one another. Like, they made their own little family. They had only been there for 2 weeks. Mm. And this little girl only knew the other little girl for 2 weeks, but she still felt the need to get up there and, like, sing to her. Like, with her. She just used... Wow. She didn't have anything to give her but her gift, and she literally gave her her gift, like, of a song. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm going to cry again. But it was just so overwhelming, the... To see, because most of the people volunteering there that day were Latino. And so it was like a lot of Latinos from LA who probably just wanted to give back to the as much as they could. And you could just feel the energy of the day was just so beautiful. And Leti's heart is just like 1,000% in the right place. Like, she just, they were able to curate such a beautiful day. And then there was, they know a lot of people in the rap industry. And so Leti had recently interviewed King Little G on her podcast, Leti Set Go.
Yeah.
And she had told him that the Peniche Foundation is doing these visitas at this facility with these kids who are in holding, who had been separated from their families. And he was like, I'll pull up. Like, what do you need? Money? Like, what do you need? And she's like, well, they just want to feel like kids. Like, if you would just come, you know. And he, sure enough, it was funny because I had listened to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I forgot about it, and then he was sure enough he was there.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Oh, don't even get into that. He was so adamant about having us watch this racist-ass movie, right? And we were like, oh my God, is it really gonna... Like, why do we have to see it?
It's like racist, but it's also not, because it's also like... I felt like there's a lot of representation in the movie, but it was also like... To what extent?
Okay, please don't try to defend this movie, because when people see it, you'll be canceled immediately.
I will be canceled immediately. Like, I won't even have a job. Like, let's get this out the way.
You kicked out of school.
It was a terrible movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell them what the movie is.
Okay, so...
It's Bring It On Again.
Bring It On... Yeah, it's Bring It On Again, Fight to the Finish. With
Christina Milian.
With Christina Milian. And I got this movie as a child, like, in a Big Lots, you know, thing. You know how they do a big $5 vat of DVDs?
Yeah.
And I just dug to the bottom. I was like, got one. And that's the one I got.
And yeah. Little did you know.
Little did I know. It's probably one of the most racist movies there are.
So it takes place. So the whole concept of the movie is that this girl, Christina Milian, who's Cuban, her mother, they're from East LA. And shout out to East Los. But it's just not believable whatsoever. Like, it's not believable because... Oh my God. So the way they represent the Cholos in the movie are like, it's all just too much.
It's just a lot. Like, there's dancing Cholos. Like, there's there's a super racist, like, black girl. Like, Candace Owens looking bitch.
She's like the sidekick of, like, the main white bitch who's, like super
girl,
evil.
Like, never mind the character. Like, girl, you took the job to play this character.
She has major Stacey Dash vibes.
Like, ooh, and then the white girl running the show, and she was definitely a slave owner for sure.
Who's supposed to show our school what a real squad looks like?
Not this mariachi band.
Oh, y'all so lucky I found Jesus.
Hey, okay.
I use my hands.
All right.
Yeah.
But and then
let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think, and if you've seen this movie and how it made you feel, and
like, I felt like it was my civic duty to show you guys this movie.
Yeah, it was, it got caught. Conrad was like, we have to disassociate as Latinos from this movie because it's so bad that, like, if you actually let yourself sit in it and get offended, you, like, won't stop being offended from start to finish. Like, it's just an ever present.
It's one of those movies where you have to, like, move. It's just like, bitch, like, I'm gonna beat your ass. And I can't because this is a movie, but it's just like, damn.
Like, don't let me catch that girl in the street.
That's crazy how, like, something has so much power, you know?
And yeah, there's representation, but how, but the, at what cost? Because the representation is of people in, like, majorly cartoonized versions of
what Latinos
people
who, are supposed
people
to be.
Who live in East Los. Like, I've never met anybody who lives in East Los that acts like any of these motherfucking people. They like, act like bozos.
Like, I don't understand. And they're like...
Well, the reason why you don't understand is because none of that is real. And it's all created by some producer in Hollywood who was like, you know what would be a great aesthetic? You know what would be a great story?
The Latino aesthetic. And we'll have the evil black girl on the side. Like, who sits here? Like, and then not to mention the scripts. Like,
people just have to play this down. Yeah, they wrote it down.
Like, I have to insert the Taco Bell menu thing.
Oh, say the Taco Bell menu.
I have to, like...
She says... She like tells one of the girls tells her something and she's like, I'm sorry, I don't speak Taco Bell menu.
You wrote that?
And then it's that same black girl that's like the sidekick.
Like, why did they give her all the racist lines?
Because she's maybe that was her role she wanted to play. I don't know.
We even came up with this like conspiracy theory that she like was on some road to liberation and it just turned wrong.
No, honey, she's for sure in the sunken place.
For sure. She was racist to everybody. Like, she didn't give a damn about white people. She didn't give a damn about Latinos.
That's because I don't believe that race. Her body is being inhabited by an old white woman.
We talked about that. There's a spirit lingering around in these black people of just... Even... Everybody, it's just a spirit, which is so racist. It's just like, girl, I can't even look at you in the eyes. Like, you seem so empty.
Yeah.
That's real. Okay, so now I wanted to ask you about, like, speaking of energy cleanses and things like that. You talked about download after your cleanse.
Okay, yeah, definitely. That's something I want to talk about.
I want to know about that, because what is a download? What is a cleanse? What does that entail? All of that.
So, a download is a vocabulary word that my healer, Jennifer, uses to explain kind of this burst of either inspiration, like, literally, like, an idea that you get from your ancestors, like, and she calls it a download, and after, not my most recent spiritual cleanse, but my one before that, I was told that I needed to go into silent meditation for 1 hour, because I would be receiving a download.
Oh.
And so, First, I went to Del Taco because I was so hungry. Because, like, the cleanse is, like, 90 minutes. And so I was like, I need to eat. And I've been making sure that eating is, like, a really big part of my self-care. Because if my blood sugar gets low and then my hands start shaking, then I become a demon and I start acting like a fucking huge bitch. And so I have to eat for my own well-being. So I went real quick, got my little 2 tacos, and I went to a park that I really love in Altadena. And I sat there and I received this download at 3:06 p.m., and the whole concept is my dad growing up was always a big photographer. He would always take pictures of people at these NA meetings, and he loved to capture joy in people's faces. And so whenever he would take pictures of people, or just whenever he would get his pictures developed, he would always get like triples, because he would always give people the pictures of themselves. That was like his hobby. And he had all these vintage cameras and stuff. And so this is the way the idea came to me. I first just saw like the duffel bags of pictures that I have that are of his from the storage, and I just saw me taking them out and looking at them, but like putting them on the floor in a way where I was like choosing pictures.
Yeah.
And so I was like choosing the best pictures, and what the pictures are of is all of these kind of people who are perceived as all of them people that should have been in that movie about East Los are in these pictures.
Okay.
And so they're like mean old cholos with big old mustaches, like tattoos on their neck, tattoos on their forehead, like. And but the difference is in these pictures is that they're humanized, because like my dad's giving somebody a cake for, you know, 12 years clean and sober, and they're these people have gotten out of prison and have changed their life around, and these people are at birthday parties celebrating with their kids, and you know, they're just, it's just a different way to see people who have been dehumanized so much in society and by culture. And so what it is, it's going to be a photo exhibition called Faces of Recovery. Photography and video exhibition. The photography will be by Ernesto Aguirre and it will be curated by me.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, it's recovery through the eyes of my father, and there will be, like, objects that belong to him and stories and the NA steps on the wall, because there's, like, 12 steps you have to follow if you want to, you know, chase your own recovery. And so those will be on the wall, and then I really want to do it sometime around Dia de los Muertos to honor my father. But, I mean, I can't even take credit for this idea. I literally went to the park and received the whole idea, like, intact. And I was told that I would. That's how my ideas
come to be.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was so cool.
You're continuing an idea that was set in stone. Mm-hmm. So that's probably, like, a family thing. Mm-hmm. That's a family legacy, and that's real. How do you feel about the responsibility behind that?
I feel like nobody else could have that responsibility. I trust myself. I'm the only person who I would trust with that. To do it right, to do it the way that my dad would have wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm just extremely excited and honored that I have been given that download, you know?
Damn.
So it's really heavy, but also I'm in such a good place right now that I feel that I can take on that heaviness of the responsibility of doing it right.
Mm.
And I, if I can find the right people to help me. I was thinking that I want to do it at Avenue 50 Studios in Highland Park, just because Highland Park is a significant location for me growing up and being with my dad.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time there, and yeah, I'm excited to get started on that project. So if anybody has any ideas of how I can make that happen.
For surely, hit the line.
Yeah.
For surely. Hotline
bling.
How's that going, though? Like, you talk a lot about recovery, and I really want to touch on this. What is recovery meaning to you right now? Because I know you're in a recovery state, and I know, like, your fathers also know this as well. Like, how has that recovery state been for you over these past couple of months? Like, considering the meds, considering this download, considering this cleanse that we just played. How has that been the sum of everything that is recovery to you?
Well, recovery is a process, so it's not a destination.
Sheesh.
It's not somewhere you find yourself and then you stop.
Yeah.
You can't stop there. Recovery is a constant process of evolving into a better version of yourself, and it's a decision you make every day. It's a decision I have to make every day to not take an Adderall to make my life a little bit easier. It's a decision I have to make, and sometimes it's a hard decision because I'm in a rough moment and I really need help focusing, or I really can't get out of bed and I need to be somewhere by this time, and an Adderall would just fucking do me right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's some moments that it gets like that, but I choose to stay in recovery because I know that who I was with those medications was not me, and it just gave me a false sense of self, but it also is not, like, the temporary comfort I get from taking it is not worth the long-term damage that it causes.
What was some of the damages that it caused? Like, I was gonna ask, like, to relating it back to your dad, like, these energy cleanses and your communication with your dad, like, has the medication, like, affected your connection to your dad and to your spiritual self?
Absolutely. That's a really good question, because I would say 100% being on the medication affected my ability to have a connection with my father, because I wasn't fully awake. And so I would get really jealous when my sisters would tell me, oh, I dreamt about dad, or it was like there was this spiritual wall that he couldn't get through to connect with me. And I truly believe that it was the medication, because with the medication. So I would take Adderall 60 milligrams a day, and that shit is like an upper, right?
Yeah.
But then when it would be time to go to sleep, I couldn't, because I was too wired from the Adderall, so I had to take Trazodone, which is a sleeping pill. That shit is it's like a tranquilizer. Like, oof. It puts you out. So I was going to sleep every night with that just to go to sleep so you don't really dream because you're in like you're in a medically induced sleep.
Yeah, and those medically induced sleeps, like after a while, it's hard to get up out of bed. Mm-hmm. Damn, girl, you must have been in bed by 8 sharp.
No, and that's the thing. I would go to bed late because the problem when you have a job is that there's no downtime. Like there's not enough downtime.
Capitalism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And I also wanted to get into, like, you talked a lot about, like, self-love and altars and things of that sort. I think it's safe to say, well, first, let me ask this question. What would you describe this chapter as your life as? What would be the title? Because to me, it sounds like preparing for your next season. Mm-hmm. There's a season that you're preparing for. Like, you have your alters, you're talking about recovery, you're talking about this download of information and ideas. It sounds like you're preparing for the next phase, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I would call this phase of my life, like, my recovery phase. Mm-hmm. And this is, I'm just, like, in a cocoon right now. Mm. Like, I'm cocooning, you know? Like, I'm putting my head down and I'm just working. I'm putting work into my brand and work into my business, and I'm taking myself seriously, and I'm taking my spiritual healing seriously. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that when you say recovery, you don't have to necessarily be talking about from a drug. There's a lot of things that people are recovering from.
For real.
Especially their childhood.
Especially yourself. Mm-hmm. Yourself. Like, I have an issue with, I'm recovering from how much hate that I have put into my younger selves. Mm. You know,
that's yeah, because you spend so much time hating yourself. Exactly. Or wishing you were different. Or wishing your life was different. Yeah, or certainly. Wishing you were from a different city. Or you didn't have to go to this school. Or maybe if I didn't have to go to this school, maybe I would have a better... Like, you spend so much time thinking about all of the different ways your life could be better instead of just being grateful for what you have. But it's really difficult to be grateful for what you have when you don't see any value in it.
Oof. Value. Mm-hmm. How do you put value on yourself every day?
I find value in the things people used to make fun of me for. Mm. Like, I used to get made fun of the way I would dress or how excited I would get about things. And the flip side of that is just joy. Like, I'm a joyous person or a joyful person.
I'm a joyful bitch.
Yeah. And I get really excited. My voice gets really high. And I'm an intense person.
Yeah.
And that used to be something that I think people... For a lot of my life, I felt tolerated and not enjoyed or accepted. Mm. And so now that I have certain people out of my life, I no longer feel like I'm being tolerated. I actually, like yesterday when I was with you guys all day, I just felt like I wasn't being tolerated. Like, oh, they're letting me hang out with them. It's like, no, we're having fun together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I used to feel like that with friends that I had. Like, oh, they're letting me hang out with them until they get annoyed with me. And then it's time for me to go home.
That's like, that anxiety coming out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's just like... taking care of yourself first, mm-hmm. you know, and just allowing. Like, one thing that I realized, and something you taught me since in middle school, like, you don't have to be the loudest person in the room. No. You don't have to be the most present person in the room. And that signifies true peace and strength, mm-hmm. you know? Also, we talked a lot about altars yesterday. Mm-hmm. And to my understanding, you have a self-love altar?
Yeah, I do.
So, what do you have on your altar, and what does that look like? Because a lot of people like to say, like, oh, you need a white cloth, you need these candles, and then I know other bitches who, like, I like Ritz, so I'm gonna put Ritz on my self-love shit. Like, I got some weed right there, I got this, I got water, like, what is your self-love altar, what does that mean, all of that.
So, my self-love altar is, like, right on top of my dresser, and I put it, it was important for me for it to be raised, so I took a shoe rack that I had, mm-hmm. and I covered it with a leopard, piece of like a pillowcase. I just covered it with a leopard pillowcase because that represents me. I love leopard.
Oh, and Martha Stewart.
So I put it on there, and then I just started putting things on there that. So in one of my cleanses, my grandma was the one who gave me the assignment to put up the altar, and the only requirement she had was that I had to put this gold unicorn on it. I had to put pink roses, and I had to wear a red piece of string around my wrist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I did that, but then I added things on there to me that meant things to me. So so part of the thing that I'm trying to love about myself is my playfulness and trying to just get back to the child in me. And so I took this snow globe that has like a little white elephant in it, and it has gold glitter inside. And it was given to me by one of my students at La Cañada when I was working there, and her name is Elaine. And she was like my little I just love that little girl so much. I sent her like a package for back to school, and I still want to be in her life as much as I can, but I could no longer work in that environment.
Yeah, well, La Canada.
Yeah, honey. But she just really reminded me of myself when I was young, and so it gave me meeting her gave me a chance to see myself at her age and how fucking brilliant she is. But then also at the same token, it was my job to teach her how to read in the like class for people with special needs.
Yeah.
And so I would take her out of the mainstream class because she struggles with reading, but she doesn't struggle with thinking. She also doesn't struggle with conceptualizing huge concepts and like
say it.
Like she doesn't struggle with storytelling. She struggles with a lot of things, but she doesn't struggle with a lot of things, but the thing she does struggle with is the thing she got singled out for and put into a separate room for, and that's how I got to meet her in that context. And so I really felt like I had this obligation to remind her every single day that she was a genius, and that I gave her little tools that I wish I had growing up. Like, I gave her this affirmation, like, when something gets hard, like, if I taught her one thing, because I was realizing that people, when we see people, they signify one thing to us often. Like, oh, when I look at you, I see home.
Yeah. Oh.
And so when I look at her, I saw genius. Yeah. And so I wanted her to always associate me with that reminder. And so I just gave her this little affirmation, because she would get a little frustrated when something was hard. And so I taught her how to, like, take a deep breath, like, and say out loud, this is hard, but that's okay, because I can do hard things. And it's just, like, a really simple affirmation.
Wow.
And, like, her and this other boy that I was helping, his name is Aiden. I gave them that, and that was what we mostly, like, I stopped working on reading with them because I knew I was going to leave, and I knew that reading was going to eventually come to them. But this stuff that I was teaching them, the affirmations and the believing in themselves, that was what they needed to learn.
Now, there are people, I'm sure, who are listening, who are like, well, listen, like, all this shit is nice, but, like, affirmations, like, I just don't see the effect in it. Like, what makes the difference? Like, what makes these people, like, who are listening to you right now, like, what makes them no different than you when it comes to the power that you hold, and by means of, like, affirmations, by means of, like, what does it for you?
Well, affirmations are a coping tool. They're a tool to cope with your life, but they're also a manifesting tool. And so, okay. So there's a woman named, she has this podcast called Unfuck Your Brain. Her name is Cara Lowenthal. And when I was barely starting on this whole self-love journey, I found her podcast, and she gave me something that I took with me that I was able to actually apply. And she said, when I started with affirmations, I didn't start with, I am beautiful, I am perfect. Like, that's not what she started with, because she couldn't look in the mirror and believe that yet. So she started with the simplest thing that she could say that was still true. She would look herself in the mirror and say, I have a body. That is a body.
Yeah.
And then she worked her way up to, this is a beautiful body. Because she was just looking at herself in the mirror and just being able to say, that is my body. That is a body. Everyone else has a body. This is my body. And so just to be able to claim your body and, like, own it in a way that it's, like, you're not rejecting it. Because a lot of people will try to hide themselves and, like, just, like, not... You know how you can not claim somebody you're dating? You can, like, not claim them in public?
Yeah.
People almost do that to themselves.
Ooh.
Like, I don't even claim myself.
On a Sunday.
You know what I mean, though?
Woo!
And so that was really tangible for me, that skill she passed along, because I was not at a place where I could look in the mirror and make up an affirmation talking about, I am beautiful, I am perfect.
You gotta fucking mean it.
Yeah. And so she gave me the tool of being able to be honest about my affirmations. Start with an honest affirmation. Like, this, that is my body. Okay. And that's just an affirmation for the day. Like, you look in your in the mirror and just recognize that that's your body. And you got to recognize that it's the only one you got.
It's the ownership.
And so you just take ownership of your body first. And then you can move on to the larger concepts or the more harder ones that people have trouble with. Like, that is a beautiful body or whatever it might be. And so I have this globe that she gave me on my altar, because it reminds me to stay in my girl genius. It reminds me to still be my 7-year-old self, mm-hmm. that she was, mm-hmm. where she's just like so full of ideas and no one has taken them from her yet. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so it's my mission to make sure that no one takes them from her, and her to make sure that she knows how to protect them. So I keep that on there. And then I also have a little soap dish, a white ceramic soap dish with my business card on it.
Oh.
Because I want to manifest great things for my business.
Fancy.
And so I have a white candle. And then I have a little framed saying that says, fortune favors the brave. Because that is just, that's one of the 48 laws of power. But it's also...
Gems. Mm-hmm. So that was so loaded. And you only said 7 words. It was so loaded.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And then I have a white candle on my altar, and then I have I have 2 white candles, and then I have some stickers, like, my homegirl's daughter, her name's Anna, her daughter, Tati, she made these stickers that say, always love yourself, and it's a picture she drew. She's only, like, 8, I think, mm-hmm. and she's, like, hugging herself. Mm-hmm. So I have that on there, and then I have a gold unicorn.
Mm. Okay.
That I got from a thrift store.
Well, she's the thrift store queen, everybody, just so you know.
Thriftiana? That's me.
Tatiana, what a lovely song. What, Cardi B, shout out to her and everything.
Yeah, but Blueface, he needs some rap lessons.
He need a lot. These young people need a lot, because...
Cardi got on there and saved that whole track. But the problem with that song is that he's not on beat.
There are people who are offbeat, who rap offbeat, that sound good, but like...
He's I never
particularly
heard of him.
Not on beat.
He's particularly bad.
Like, particularly. And I think everyone has acknowledged that, and everyone was like, okay, Tatiana was a good song, let's move the fuck on.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He squandered a beautiful opportunity because that beat is so fire.
That is a beautiful beat. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that, like, art has declined?
No.
Like, as an artist, like, do you feel like there has been, like, a lack of innovation? I think about that.
Well, if you're only referring to mainstream, then yeah, because the people who decide what gets mainstreamed are just so uncreative. It's very trash. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lack of creativity in the hood or in, yeah. like, you, if you're worried about that, then just, like, go YouTube some hood shit. What inspires me?
What is inspiring you right now? Like, what's something that's just like, I keep on coming back to this. This sounds like a baby I'm about to have. Let me go ahead and fertilize this some more with some more YouTube clips and things.
What inspires me? Inspiration is so, like, elusive and, like, tantalizing that you'd never... If I knew what inspired me, then I would only just do that all the time. Mm. But I really just get inspiration from living. So, from the architecture, the thing... Okay, whatever you see on my Instagram story is what inspires me. Because I always take pictures of things that... I want to remember for whatever reason, and I don't know why I want to remember them until I'm like, let me go look at those pictures.
So Instagram helps.
Yeah, Instagram is a tool for manifesting. You know, I think so often people use social media as a tool to compare and despair whatever it is that other people are doing with their life to what's going on in their own. You know, like, social media is this... basically photo album of all your best moments. You know, that's what most people use it for, but that's not what you have to use it for. Feel me? Like, you can use it to post motivational things for yourself. Like, I literally, all of the things that I post that are motivational and people reply to, like, damn, I needed to hear this. Like, girl, I needed to hear it too. That's the reason why I posted it. Because I needed, like, I literally use social media as a tool to motivate myself, but also, I mean, while I'm motivating myself, I'm able to motivate others. But who I'm talking to on my social media is me. Like, the captions are like my diaries, and the things I post are funny to me, and the motivational quotes are things I need to hear that day. And so the pictures of houses that I post or the pictures of people that motivate me, like, those are all people I'm going to meet one day and people that I'm going to aspire to be like in some way, or, you know, try to model my accomplishments after. And, you know, it's not just this thing that has to be negative. Like, you can take anything in the world and flip it on its ass and make it into what works for you. And that's what I mean when I say that you can use social media as a tool for manifestation. Because, you know, I just tweeted something the other day that said, this time next year, I will be represented by CAA. And CAA is this, like, it's called the Creative Arts Agency, and it's this huge agency that represents all of Cardi B and, like, DJ Khaled. Everybody that's doing something, they represent. And so I just put that out there, and it's a way for you to put your dreams, like, it's a way for you to write them down, but also it's kind of like people can keep you accountable. Well, nobody, people can keep you accountable, but it's a way for you to look back on things. Like, have you ever noticed, like, I have this homegirl who, she's pregnant right now. Her name's Abby. Shout out, Abby. And she's going through hyperemesis, which is this pregnancy issue that happens where your body gets really sick while it's pregnant. And she's also in a master's program at the same time. And so, you know, she's been going through it just physically, just not feeling well at all. And it's just terrible. And so she just posted this Facebook status from this day last year. And it was her saying, oh, so I just applied to nursing school. And, you know, not only did she apply and get in, she fucking killed that shit. And she's an amazing nurse and all of that. And so she posted that yesterday and was like, oh, this is weird timing that, you know, in my Facebook memories it showed up. And I'm like, girl, that's not weird timing. That's the universe showing up to remind you of how far you've come. And that's why I think social media can be a tool for manifestation, because now she's in the process of trying to finish her master's program while she is struggling with being pregnant and having this terrible, like, you know, illness. And so, yeah.
How?
So Instagram is ultimately a vision board. You can use Instagram however you want. You can use it to show people how good you're doing. You can use it to floss, because people do that.
You gotta be careful, though, because that FBI agent is listening. Because, you know? No, listen, for real, you be talking about hot Cheetos and it'll pop up on your page.
See, that's the thing. That's a myth.
Is that a myth?
Let me tell you why it's a myth. Because the power of... Okay, so Instagram and Facebook have created the most powerful advertising tools known to man. Mm-hmm. Because what they do is, like... So, say I want to boost a post on Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The reason why you see something pop up on your phone because you were just talking about it is not because anybody's listening to you, but it's because someone who sells hot Cheetos is smart enough to know that a black boy who is around your age, who lives in your city that you live in, that is, then this is all information that's on your page already, who lives in your city, who's about your age, who also likes X, Y, and Z pages, is probably gonna like hot Cheetos. So they advertise to you because you are their demographic. So they're not. So it just happens to be, yeah, you were talking about it, but it's not because you were talking about it and then it popped up on your phone, but it's because
there's an algorithm behind
it. Yeah, they're just smart. They're going to advertise to you. It's like, if I was selling hot Cheetos, why would I go advertise to Bill Gates' demographic? I'm sure he doesn't eat them.
Yeah, Janet Jackson doesn't even know what hot Cheetos are.
Oh. That's rough.
That's a hard life.
Well, she probably won't live forever. Not like us eating plastic in our bellies. Like,
I mean, about hot Cheetos. I mean, with Arizona.
That's some Pasadena shit.
Okay. Speaking of Pasadena shit, speaking of, like, chips and things like that, Instagram, going back, you were talking about using Instagram as a tool for manifesting and the algorithm and things of that sort. And I know you make a vision board on your Instagram, like in your saves, or like, do you screenshot?
Well, my phone is my tool for manifesting, because I'll take pictures of things that, like, okay, yesterday, what did we do? When I saw that house, that I was like, this house she is takes just pictures dope. Of everything.
Yeah.
I take pictures of everything, and some people think it's annoying, but, like, it's, I can't not be who I am anymore. Like, I'm tired of that.
Let's get into that. That's what the fuck I want to know about. Mm-hmm. Why, at one point, were you like, bitch, I don't give a fuck. Like recently. Because there has been a shift. Because, like, now you're in a space where you're completely vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bitch, I'm going to just do whatever the hell I want to at this point.
Yeah. And I'm, because what I'm figuring out is, like I said in another podcast, like when Cardi said, I started speaking my mind and tripled my views. Like, when she said that, that to me was like a message to me. Like, if you want to know how to get this, what I have, which is like her success and her, like, her the heights that she has soared to, all you gotta do is be yourself. It's a really simple...
Be yourself.
It's a really simple, like, algorithm for success. Being yourself is attractive.
Period.
What do you say to those people who are trying to be other people? T-T-T-T.
Wine and chisme. I say good luck maintaining it.
Welcome to wine and chisme segment. Welcome to our wine and chisme segment.
I say good luck trying to sustain that because when you're trying to be somebody else, you are basically like the wind moves you. You ain't rooted.
You're just doing whatever the fuck.
The wind moves you. I'll tell you one thing. The wind can't move me. Nothing could change my mind. If this is what I believe and this is what I feel, that's the difference. When you're in touch with who you are as a person and your feet are rooted on the ground and you're not like swayed by over here. Is somebody have a different opinion? You over here. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I can talk to people and still maintain my identity because my identity is not based on other people. On what other people think or how other people feel about me.
We know a couple people like that.
Plenty.
Plenty. And those people, how do you deal with people like that? How do you deal with energy like vampires like that who just take over your shit and just blend with the way that you do things? Like, I feel like that's so, it can be very flattering because like they're trying to jock your style, you know. But it's also like, damn, bitch, like you can't get your own.
How do I deal with them? I don't deal with them. I no longer have those people in my life. Whether they left on their own accord or I cut off communication with them, I just don't have them in my life anymore. Mm. And it's not to say that that's not painful. That wasn't painful, the initial breakup with those people, but it was necessary. But every day, I'm grateful that I don't have them in my life anymore.
Mm. Is that the hard lesson that you're learning in this phase of your life right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lesson, but it's also a lesson with like immediate, like I felt immediately the benefits of those people walking out of my life.
Damn, immediately? That's fucked up, mm-hmm. But it's also great to say.
Because when you're around people that don't really like you, you feel like a burden. You feel like a burden all the time, and it's just not a good feeling. And so when those people walk out of your life, you no longer feel like you have to, you know, tap dance to, you know, get an invite somewhere.
And shuck and jive and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's real.
That's real. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
I'm excited to go see Lake Merritt.
Yeah, we're going to Lake Merritt today. It's always a vibe.
It's my last day in San Francisco.
Oh, and we're going to give her a vibe. We're going to have soul food. We're going to lay out in the sun. It's a lot hotter in Oakland.
Okay.
Right across the bay. It's warmer. People lay on the sun. I don't think it'll be fun.
Shout out Oakland. I love Oakland. Shout out Homies Empowerment.
Old Town and Homies Empowerment. Speaking of Homies Empowerment, can you tell me about Dr. Cruz? Because that's where I picked you up from. Yeah. And she had this incredible man come up to my place of living. They brought this entire different energy into my place, and hopefully I can reconnect. But can you tell me about that? And I think that'll explain the whole Dr. Cruz interview.
Yeah, well, Dr. Cruz is a friend of mine who I met at a conference earlier this year. And I was still not in the best place, but I met him. He came into my life in a really pivotal moment and helped me. He was just like the mirror that I needed in a moment that I needed to see myself, mm-hmm. not for what my chemical imbalance was telling me that I was, but for who I actually am. And he was that mirror in a really pivotal moment. And so the interview is just a really great representation of our friendship. Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone listens to it. And yeah, we're going to put it as its own episode. So I hope you can go back and check that out because Dr. Cruz is, he's magic, man. Mm-hmm. He's just so in touch with he lives from his heart space. Mm-hmm. Like he's just always in his heart space and he communicates. He called me anointed, but he is anointed. He definitely is put on this earth to change things and to shake things up and to be a mirror to a lot of people, I think. And just he makes us see what is possible with ganas.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Okay, I'm recording this right now. I just got out of my spiritual energy healing cleanse with Jen, and holy fucking shit, she just took me to a forest, which was the forest of the sequoias, to meet my dad. And I met my dad and my uncle Pete there, and my dad basically took me in there. I have never felt more protected in my life. Like, that shit was... He was wearing a leather jacket, and there's actually a picture of him and my uncle in, like, his, you know, photo albums and everything that I remember seeing. And I actually, like, met them there at the at this forest, and the trees were just so huge and majestic and, like, wise. And you just, I felt like we were on this spiritual plane that, like, you can just only experience if you like, you can't go there. Like, it's not a place you can go, it's only a place you can receive. And I just feel so, like, on fire with abundance, and, like, I just feel like I'm walking in light right now.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Woof, girl.
Woof. We're having a good time.
Damn, girl, that recording is raw. That recording is real. You was going through some real shit, girl.
Yeah.
This was... What was this? What was this moment? Because there are people listening who need this. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you decided to share this. What is going on here? What's going on in this recording? Tell me the experience that you just underwent.
So I had just walked out of... on Wednesday, my spiritual energy cleanse with Jennifer. And it was the most intense one that I have experienced to date. This will be my seventh one. That was my seventh one. And I have not made contact with my father spiritually ever. Never had a dream of him since he died. Like, I have felt just, like, so alone. But in this guided meditation, I was able to, like, meet him kind of, like, on the ancestral plane. Mm-hmm. And I met him in a forest, which is... really interesting, because Jennifer does not know me to know what pictures I have in my photo album.
Yeah, she don't know you like that.
She described, she said, we're in a forest with the trees, you can't see the top, and the trees are really, really thick, and your dad, he's wearing a leather jacket. And immediately I just started, like, sobbing, because there's mm-hmm. literally a picture of my dad and my Uncle Pete in the sequoia forest. And you can't see the top of the trees. Like, they look so small next to these huge trees. And my dad, sure enough, is wearing his brown leather jacket. And so in this moment, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. I couldn't see my dad. I couldn't hear his voice. But Jennifer was speaking for him. And I never felt more protected in my life. Like, I just felt like he had taken that jacket off and put it around me. And all the time I'm looking up at the trees, and I can just see trees, but I can't see him, but I can feel him. And it was just absolutely incredible. I don't know another way to describe it other than just confirmation of what I was, what I'm already doing. He gave me so much confirmation. He just said, he assured me of some things, but one thing he did that I will share is that he said to continue walking in his path and to continue sharing his legacy of sharing my message, because I have a long line of healers in my family. That's what I learned from Jennifer, and that our role on this earth is to heal people with our words and with our voice, and that is our medicine that we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And so I just was in a state of, like, complete and total gratitude the rest of the day. I went and ate at Makeable after, and while I was sitting in Makeable, the song Hotel California by the Eagles came on. And I just had this smile. I could not wipe this huge smile off my face for the rest of the day, because, again, it was that confirmation that... And then that night, I had to take Molly to dance class, and the first song that played when we walked in was My Girl by the Temptations. Mm. And that's me and my dad's song. Mm-hmm. And then I again just started weeping. And, like, so this is my life now. I just, like, start uncontrollably crying in Makeable.
PCC, like, class with Molly. Like, so it was just a really intense moment that was really beautiful. And it's really, like, kind of embarrassing to share it, like, the recording, because I'm, like, crying. But that was me at my most raw and real. And I kind of do these recordings as, like, because I don't like writing that much, like, physically writing. But I will talk. And so I like to talk to my phone, like, and then have it just write it down.
Is that how poems and things come about for you?
Yeah. But then when I'm, like, if my brain is working faster than my mouth, then I'll sit down and type it. Like, yeah, if I'm, like, in that mode. But for the most part, I'm not, I haven't been able so much since I stopped the medication to, like, write and read, because it's been difficult. But it's getting easier.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Tell me something. Well, tell your viewers something. Like I said, I truly believe there's someone out there who is listening to this podcast right now who's going through the exact same thing that you need. And sometimes affirmations and manifestations are not going to always do it. And a lot of people don't have access to that or are not ready for that. What is a note that you want to let them know? What is something that you want to leave them with that will... even if it means just, like, get up in the morning, or even if it's just, like,
try again. I want to say that I know that there's someone out there that can't get out of bed today, and for whatever reason you clicked on this podcast, and I don't want you to think that that was by accident. When the student is ready, the teacher appears, and the teacher can be anyone, and the lesson can come in any form. And if you are ready to receive the messages that I'm, like, trying to give you in this podcast, then let this be confirmation that you are in the right place at the right time, and you are opening your heart to receiving these messages. And wherever you are, I just want you to look up at the sky and say thank you, because there might be somebody listening to this podcast who... pressing play might have been the biggest thing they did all day, because getting out of bed is fucking hard when you're depressed. And doing anything is hard. Showering, eating. And so I want to congratulate you for pressing play, and I want to thank you for being with us here today, and I want to thank you for staying, because I know that if you're that deep in it, that leaving is sometimes an option. And I just want to say that I'm glad you're here, and so thank you for listening.
We're done?
Okay, we're done. If you would like to support this podcast, you can rate it, review it, or subscribe. And to keep up with me daily, follow me on Instagram at Millennial Miha. If you feel moved to pay it forward, you can always hit my Venmo at Millennial Miha. And for bookings, visit me at, yes, you guessed it, MillennialMiha.com. It's called branding, honey. You need consistency.
It's the Millennial Miha Podcast.